أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه من سلم بسنته الدين. أما بعد، last Thursday we stopped on the topic of the times when dua is most accepted from us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just wanted to refresh for everybody from what we discussed last time, very quickly recapping. Number one is in the time of Laylatul Qadr or Tahajjud, and which is what we call Waqtul Tahajjud or Waqtul Ashar, and also in the time of the night of Laylatul Qadr in Ramadan, and also during every Tahajjud time every night. And apart from that, we said it is at the time of Azan, between Iqamah and Azan and Iqamah, at the time of Azan itself. We also said at the time when somebody is traveling, this is very important to know that whenever we are traveling, we are in Safar, a person is Musafir. At that time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is accepting the dua. This is not to say that if we are sitting at home, Allah doesn't accept the dua. These times or awqat is what we call in Arabic, there is more likeliness. In comparison to an average time, these times have more likeliness where the dua will be accepted. Why? Because there's something that is happening. Like in tahajjud, a person is sacrificing their sleep, sacrificing their rest, their easiness. In time of azan, a person is attentive to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, concentrated, focused. And between azan and iqamah, reason because the person is waiting for the iqamah, so they are in sabr. There are two very important things due to which Allah accepts dua: sabr, patience, and hardships. And also within the hardship, in both of these, patience and hardship, if a person has khawf of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts the dua. In patience, because the person is trying to calm and soothe themselves. They could have been impatient, they could have been irritated. So because they're patient, Allah accepts the dua. So at night time in tahajjud, a person is being patient. Waiting for a qamah after the azan, a person is patient. In safar, in traveling, a person is patient, because a lot of difficulty come in our traveling. Whether you're traveling by car, by bus, by train, by plane. I mean, just the issue of traveling, journey, safar, is a mashaqqah, is a difficulty, hardship. So whenever there's hardship and difficulty, a person has to be patient. So when they're patient and they're making dua, Allah accepts their dua. So the other thing we said from last time is also that when a person is going in battle, in jihad, in battlefield, at that time making dua is accepted. We see that Rasulullah made dua in all these battles, Uhud and Badr and Tabuk and Hunain and all these, also Ahzab. We also said that on the day of Friday is a special day to accept dua, especially there's 1 hour during specific time on Friday when the dua is most accepted. And we also said at the time of the start of the prayer, and also when we're drinking Zamzam water. And we also said that when in sujood and ruku, the dua is very much accepted. And also during the time of wudu, and when a person makes wudu, and right after they finish the ablution wudu, they say, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah. And then after that, they should say, this is from the Sunnah Rasulullah, Allahumma ja'alni min al-mutatahharin. Allahumma ja'ali min al-tawwabin wal-mutatahharin. Allah, make me from the repenters and make me from those who purify. And also, continuing from there onwards, this is where we left off last Thursday, that we said one more, that dua of a Muslim brother for another Muslim brother. Likewise, for a Muslim sister's dua for another Muslim sister. There are two categories within that also. One, where somebody says, you know, please make dua for me. So you make dua for them, Allah accepts that. And the other category is where somebody did not ask you to make dua, you made dua for them anyway. Like, none of you asked me to make dua, but I know each one of your names, so when I go home tonight, I make dua by each one of your names. That dua is more accepted compared to when each one of you comes and tells me, Brother Jawad, make dua for me. Why? There's a slight difference in category. One, you asked me, so I made it. Two, I made dua without you asking. So the one that is made without asking is more mustajab, is more accepted to Allah. Why? Because it has ikhlas, purity. You didn't ask me, I just made dua on my own. That brother, this brother, that brother, that brother, that. But when you ask me, then I remember, oh, such and such brother or sister told me, please make dua, so I'm making. But when nobody asks me and I make dua, that is, has pure ikhlas. It means that the person loves them for the sake of Allah only. And there's no riya, there's no show-off, there's no kind of pride or kibr, there's no kind of intention that, oh, I might get some benefit from them if I make dua. Nothing. It's purely on the basis of ikhlas. This is where we left off last time. And the aspect of this is that Sayyidina Umar ibn Khattab said, why does Allah accept the dua of a Muslim brother for another Muslim brother? A very beautiful thing, because Rasulullah, when Sayyid Umar was traveling one time and he was saying goodbye to Rasulullah, Rasulullah asked Umar ibn Khattab, make dua for me. So Umar ibn Khattab got like shocked, stunned. He said, I mean, you are the best human being on earth. You are a messenger of Allah. You're asking me, Umar ibn Khattab, to make dua for you? I mean, it was beyond him to comprehend that. So, and Rasulullah said, yes, make dua for me, and he did. Because this is a part of the love. What Rasulullah was telling him, that one of the ways that Allah joins our hearts together, joins our love between the brotherhood, Muslim brotherhood and sister together, is by asking Allah dua for them. Umar ibn Khattab was explaining this himself one time, and he said that, look, how do you make dua? Of course, we said you can make dua in your heart, in your mind also, just by thinking. You don't actually have to say. But suppose, let's say you are making dua loud and clear. You use your tongue, right? You don't make dua with your eyes, with your ears, with your heart or lungs or liver. You make dua with your tongue. How many sins we do with this tongue? Ghibah, magbari, comes from the tongue. Cursing comes from the tongue. Namima, rumors, comes from the tongue. Lying comes from the tongue. Deceiving someone, cheating on someone, from the tongue. So from the tongue, there are so many potential sins that can happen. And many times we say things and we forget. And we don't remember. So Umar ibn Khattab was saying, that my tongue may be a sinner for me. I may have committed some sins from my tongue. So when I make dua for my own tongue, it may or may not be accepted. But when you make dua for me, I don't sin using your tongue. If God forbid somebody does a mistake, a lie, a curse, they use their own tongue. They don't use somebody else's tongue. So what he was explaining, the philosophy is, everybody else's tongue is tahir, pure for you. That is why when you're making a dua and you ask somebody, make dua for me, big difference. When you're making dua, the effectivity of dua may be reduced because of the shortcomings of your own tongue. But when you ask somebody else to make dua for you, their tongue is clean and pure for you. Because you never used it for any mistakes or problems or things. So now you understand the whole philosophy in Islam. Because many times people treat this thing very basic, very trivial. I mean, they do it very lightly. But when they're leaving at the door, okay, please, by the way, make dua for me. This is the most important thing. Rasulullah is telling Ibn Khattab, make dua for me. He is a prophet of Allah. Is his dua ever rejected? No. But he's asking because he wants to teach us a lesson. He wants to teach us not just a lesson, but he wants to show us the wisdom behind dua. And in our society today, whenever people meet each other and when they're about to depart, they say, oh, by the way, make dua for me. It shouldn't be by the way. It should be the main thing. Make dua for me. And yes, the best dua is that whoever you meet and you get to know, your acquaintances, your community, your neighbor, make dua for them. Without them knowing. That's the best dua. The most idealistic dua that a person makes dua for someone without them knowing. And if you did make dua, don't tell them. Because by telling them, it will reduce the effectivity of it. Also, in conjunction with this, we also have a time of iftar. We didn't mention this last Thursday. But at a time of iftar, whether it's in Ramadan or whether it's any time. If you're fasting Monday or Thursday, fasting Shawwal, fasting in the Hajj season, fasting in Muharram, or fasting in Rajab or Sha'ban, or any month you're fasting, at the moment, because Rasulullah said that the dua of the sa'im, the dua, the supplication, invocation of a fasting person, he or she, is not rejected, he never iftar. When they are about to take the first thing and say, before that they make dua, it's accepted. Again, why? Mashakta. They stayed hungry and thirsty all day. Hardship, mashaqqa. Sabbath, patient. They were fasting and they were patient on their Iman, on their fast. So remember, the criterion for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, why, if you look at in the overall picture, why in these specific times dua is very highly accepted, two categories come the foremost in the front. Mashaqqa, hardship, difficulty, and sabr, patience. And of course, you don't bear hardship or difficulty, or you don't have sabr, except with the fear of Allah. If you fear Allah, that's when you're going to have sabr. If someone does not fear Allah, that someone will be very irritated, agitated. They'll start cursing, they'll start saying lana and curse, and oh, Allah doesn't love me, oh, Allah hates me, why Allah me, why only me out of all the 1 billion people? You know, things like these are coming from a person who doesn't have fear of Allah. Because if they had the fear of Allah, they will not say such things. They will not slap them. Like many times in India, by some, you know, women, they try to slap their faces, slap their head. Something bad has happened. Oh, I'm very disliked by Allah. Allah hates me. Or this. To say these kind of things, negative things, is haram, forbidden. Because you never know when Allah gets displeased by that behavior. Rather, we should have patience, sabr. But oh, problem has come, difficulty has come, I will bear it. Rather, make dua. Another point where you see mashaqqa and sabr, sickness, marad. When a person is sick, their dua goes straight like an arrow. Teer ki tarah bilkul asman mein. So instead of person getting angry and agitated and restless and frustrated and pessimistic and sad and depressed that oh, I'm sick, I got a flu. The Sahaba used to look at sickness as an opportunity, increase in dua. I mean, of course, we are not saying that they like to become sick, but they would look at that as an opportunity to grab golden treasure. And making dua, countless dua. So when a person is in sickness, of gain, there is a shakka and difficulty and hardship, and a person has to be patient. If they have 104 degree temperature, you know, Fahrenheit, whatever, and they're literally shivering from the fever, it's making dua. And asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive all sins. Because remember, Rasulullah said, whenever Allah gives you any sickness, it is a way of cleansing your sins, mistakes, shortcomings. When the Sahaba heard this, many of them began crying. So others asked, why are you crying? You think, I haven't gotten sick last 4 years. That means somebody might take that in the other way. Say, oh look, I'm such a good person. I didn't get sick the whole year. But Sahaba are crying that Allah is not cleansing the sins from us. The philosophy of Sahaba is always productive, you know, positive, optimistic. But they are becoming worried. If I'm not getting sick, they would get worried. Why am I not getting sick? Does Allah love me? What happened? How come my sins are not being washed? Of course, Sahaba are such a high generation in terms of man, we don't even compare close with them. But look at their feeling, look at their sentiments, how they would always look at everything in a positive attitude. Another time when dua is very much accepted is at rain time, matar. Why? Because matar, rain, signifies rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when Allah's mercy is coming down, and likewise the scholars said, even at time of snow. So in the blizzard of 2006, when there was 23 inches of snow, I know I was making dua, I don't know what you guys were doing. But at that time when it's snowing really hard, two inches an hour, just raise your hand, make dua. Any dua, accept it. Of course, we said when we say any dua, it means any dua that is according to the Sharia, Quran and Sunnah, halal. Because remember, we already covered in this series that we can't make dua for anything wrong, for a sin, for a negative thing. We can't make dua for the death of someone. We can't make dua that has any kind of disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we can't make any dua that would cut off our ties of kinship or a relationship with other people. So at the time of rain, at the time of snow, also at the time of afat, like that earthquake that came in Pakistan and Kashmir area, when the earthquake is coming, yes, people are scrambling, they're running from post to post, but at that time they should be reciting dua, asking refuge from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, asking istighfar, tawbah and istighfar. Also, another time that is very, very important, which comes upon everybody, is a time of extreme fear. Whatever fear it could be. At that time, rather than gripping ourselves with fear, we should be making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For example, it says waqt al-ihtirar muttar, when an insan is in a kind of jeopardy and anguish and pain. Could be fear of darkness, fear of when they're traveling on the road, fear of something. And it can also mean fear of some difficulty that they're plagued in. So whatever the fear it is, at the time of ittirar, a person should be making dua, because that is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is asking us, wasta'inu bis-sabri was-salah, and seek help in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with sabr, patience, and salah. Salah here doesn't just mean the salah that we pray, rak'ah, here it means salah, dua, prayer. Pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in that time. Ibn Abbas رجل عنه, Abdullah ibn Abbas, a Sahabi, he said that كُلُّ عَبْدٍ دَعَى إِسْتَجِيبَ لَهُ فَإِنْ كَانَ الَّذِي يَدْعُو بِهِ رِزْقًا لَهُ فِي الدُّنْيَا أَعْطِيَهُ وَإِنْ لَمْ يَكُنْ رِزْقًا لَهُ فِي الدُّنْيَا دُخِرَ لَهُ. He says that every slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he or she who makes dua, gets something in return. If the dua that they ask is a risk for them, risk here does not mean just food or money. Risk meaning sustenance, provision, meaning they deserve that. Let's put it this way, for lack of better translation, that if they really deserve that, they are mustahiq, and it's in their nasib, in their decree for them, they'll get that thing for dua, what dua that made. But if it is not risk for them, dukhirahu, it is saved off for them, postponed. When? On Yawm al-Qiyamah. Many people who made dua in this life and they didn't get something, all those duas are carried over, saved in a storage place. And on Yawm al-Qiyamah, Allah is going to give them. How? Because when they see their book on that day, many mistakes and sins and shortcomings and faults are erased. A person will be replayed and shown that they did such a thing, but it will not be recorded there. And when they'll see, they'll be shocked. It's because of their dua. Meaning, in other words, what Abdullah ibn Abbas is saying, encourage yourself, encourage you to make dua, because the dua is never wasted. Many times, we already talked about this so many times in the past series, that no Muslim's dua is ever wasted. We already said that, just to refresh our memory, that hadith we said before, that when a person makes dua, three things happen to it. Remember? The Rasulullah said, مَا مِنْ مُسْلِمْ يَدُوا بِدَعْوَةٍ لَيْسَ فِيهَا إِثْمٍ وَلَا قَتِيَةِ رَحْمٍ إِلَّا أَعْضَاهُ اللَّهُ بِهَا أَحْدَ ثَلَاثٍ. There is not a single Muslim who makes dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in which there is no ism, there is no sin, and there is no qatiyati rahm, there is no cutting off of ties of kinship. إِلَّا أَعْطَاهُ اللَّهُ بِهَا أَحْدَ ثَلَاثٍ, except that Allah gave one of three things for that dua that they made, that good dua. What is that? Number one, إِمَّا أَن يُعَجَّلْ لَهُ دَعْوَتُهُ. First thing is that Allah, if that thing is mustahak for them, if they really deserve that, Allah will hurry that, expedite that. Ta'jeel. Ta'jeel meaning hurrying them to receive. They receive that dua right away. And that is why we see many times we make dua, instantaneous reply comes up. I mean, you might even say that, hey, I just made dua for this thing yesterday. And when that kind of feeling has, that deja vu feeling or kind of like that, it's because of that dua, do expedite, accept it. هذا أول أحد الثلاث. الثاني, what is that? إِمَّا أَن يُدَخِّرْ لَهُ. If it's not given to you right away, it is saved off, protected. Saved, and it is a kind of loan, qard, upon us. Meaning we will get back this from Allah. Allah does not keep any dua with him. If we make a dua, it doesn't just get flown off in the air or wasted. If it's not given, it is saved. On Yawm al-Qiyamah, pay that time. You know that notion or that slogan that they have in America, in the business world? You go to Walmart, Kmart, Pathmark, ShopRite, go to any of these malls, Bloomingdale's, Macy's, JCPenney, and something is on sale, you rush to it. Oh, shelf is empty. Excuse me, manager, can I get a rain check? Ah, rain check. Why? Well, that shelf gets filled up, I get the same sale price. Same thing here. Allah is saying, you make dua. If you don't get it here in dunya, save it for the rainy day. And when is our rainy day? The day we need the most? Yawm al-Qiyamah, Yawm al-Hisab, on the day of judgment. So that phrase that was coined in the American, I mean, in the English language, save it for the rainy day, it's from Islam. Allah is giving the philosophy, the mentality that, look, save something for the rainy day, because when the thing comes, you will need it. So our biggest day that we need all the help we want is the Day of Judgment, Yom HaQiyam. So if we didn't get anything here, we get it there. That's why he said, وَإِمَّا يَدَخِّلْ لَهُ. And the third thing, وَإِمَّا يَكُفَّ عَنْهُ مِنَ السُّوءُ بِمِثْلِهَا. This is amazing hadith of Rasulullah. He's saying, either you get ta'jeel, you get expedited, you get hurried, hastened, and your dua is accepted, or your dua is saved off for the rainy day, meaning Yom HaQiyamah, or choice number three is that equivalent to your dua, بِمِثْلِهَا. How much dua you made? 10 liters, 10 gallons, whatever the amount of dua, whatever you want to measure, that equivalent of that dua, compared to that su, yakufu, Allah will hold back any su, any evil that is meant to come your way. And this is very important hadith, because this hadith is connected with another hadith of Rasulullah, where he said, because people sometimes, those who have shukuk, those who have doubts in taqdeer, and they say, oh, taqdeer is written, my qadr is written, that's it, I can't change my taqdeer. Allah is saying, you can change your taqdeer. How? Dua. And that's what the hadith of Rasulullah says. La yaruddu al-qadr illa al-du'a. Very nice short hadith where Rasulullah himself is saying that you Muslim, nothing from your taqdeer can be changed except by the dua. So for example, let's say brother A and sister B. Brother A was meant to have meningitis in the year 2006. But because of a dua that he was making, brother A, that meningitis was saved off. Because that's what Allah is saying. يَكُفُّ بِمِثْلَ سُوءٍ. Allah holds. كَفَّ يَكُفُّ means holding. So suppose meningitis is supposed to come down on this person as a big heavy storm. Heavy thing. It's evil. It's not good. Nobody likes meningitis. Gardan to Bukhar so don't get it. But because his brother was making dua all around the year and Allah did not give him that thing, or he did not save it for the Day of Judgment, Allah, equivalent of his dua, stopped this meningitis fever that was meant to come. But this brother A doesn't know at all. He doesn't know his taqdeer. The fact that Allah knows the taqdeer does not mean in any way that we cannot change. Taqdeer does not mean that we are fixed. We're not chained or slaved to the taqdeer. Things can change. And the only thing that can change taqdeer is dua. لَا يَرُدُّ الْقَدْرِ إِلَّا الدُّعَى. That is why it's very, very important, heavily emphasized, to have kafrat al-du'a. Because what is Rasulullah saying? That أَن يَكُفَّ عَنْهُ مِنْ سُوءٍ بِمِثْلِهَا. That the person, each person, each Muslim on this earth, 1.6 billion, their su', their evil that is meant, because in our taqdeer there are some good things, there are some bad things. They're bound to happen. So good things Allah will not stop, they will come out of our way anyway, taqdeer. But the bad things that are written in our taqdeer can be changed by only one tool, and that is dua. If, God forbid, la sahallah, in someone's taqdeer is written meningitis, car accident, loss of job, and any negative that you can think of, a whole list of negative things in their book, in their taqdeer written. If they make dua, Allah holds it away. And then you say, well, wait a second, if that was meant to be in taqdeer, that Allah will hold it away, Allah will give that person a dua. That just because Allah knowing that does not mean that this person is bounded. And that is why we are understanding that we should always be making dua so that our duas get affected. They get paid off. It's not something that is always wasted. And that's what these two ahadiths are saying. Again, لا يرد القدر إلا الدعاء. Nothing can change or return the qadr. رد يرد means to return, to stay away or push back. Nothing can return or stay away or push back the qadr except dua. Other than that, nothing else can happen. So, and the very important thing, because a lot of time people get these two hadiths, the reason I brought this today, because a lot of time people become very, very frustrated and they become very pessimistic. Oh, I've been making dua for such a long time, I've given up. Astaghfirullah. To say that I've given up on making dua to Allah is a kind of a kalima of kufr. Why? Because what are you implying from this? You're implying that you have lost your trust on Allah. You don't depend on Allah anymore. Like many times I've heard people say, oh, I've been making dua for such a thing for 6 months. Finally, I give it up. I just withdrew from it because If 6 months I didn't get it, that means a lot of them want to give it to me. No, that's wrong. Because for the 6 months, your dua was not wasted. Imagine how many bad things Allah saved out for this person. Because the thing that this person was making dua, they didn't get it. So according to a hadith where Allah says that, I mean, where Rasulullah says that three things happen when you make a dua. Either it is hasten and hurry to you in this dunya. So this brother is saying for 6 months he wanted this thing, he didn't get it. So first one didn't come to him, meaning he didn't get it. So maybe we got a second option. Either those 6 months of dua, his dua are saved and he'll get it on Yawm al-Qiyamah. Or maybe those 6 months of dua that he made, all of that stopped every evil that was meant to come his way. So that is why I always say to people, when people tell me that, oh, I've been making dua for 6 months, I've been making dua for a year, I haven't gotten this. Like many times, especially couples, when they come up and say, oh, you know, it's been 10 years, we haven't got a child. I've even been going to every masjid, every mazar and whatnot and things and making dua. I say, oh, 10 years? Make another 10 years. Because who knows, this is a way of source of you to get to Jannah. Those 10 years of dua, can you imagine how much it's accumulating? It's like a mountain of snow, or even bigger than that, mountain of gold. All the du'as get accumulated. So a person should never give up du'a. Meaning if you're making du'a for something, and it's been a long time, and you didn't get it, and you still didn't get it, continue to make du'a. According to these ahadith, you are in the positive. You are in the good. Because you're getting something else, if that thing is, and why, but sometimes people say, why is Allah not listening to my dua? It's not that He's not listening, maybe that thing is not meant for you. It's not good. And that is why when we make dua, we say to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the dua, that, oh Allah, if it is good and khayr for me, let me have it. If it's not, then turn my heart away from it. Or save me from it. Because that will help me in both ways. So here, for those people who think that they get frustrated and they give up from making dua, there's another hadith of Rasulullah where he said, Abu Hurairah narrates, saying that Rasulullah said, لَا يَزَالُ يَسْتَجَابُ لِلْعَدْ مَا لَمْ يَدُوا بِإِثْمٍ أَوْ قَطِيَةِ رَحْمٍ مَا لَمْ يَسْتَعْجِلْ قِيلَ يَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ مَا الْإِسْتَجَالُ قَالَ يَقُولُ قَدْ دَعَوْتُ وَقَدْ دَعَوْتُ فَلَمْ أَرَى يَسْتَجِيبَ لِي فَيَسْتَحْسِرْ عِنْدَ ذَلِكَ وَيَدَعَ الدُّعَاءَ. Rasulullah is saying, لَا يَذَالُ يَسْتَجَابُ لِلْعَدُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues to answer for his slave. Allah continues to answer the call of the slave, him or her, until when? مَا لَمْ يَدُ. So long as he or she does not call or make dua to Allah for something that is a sin, an evil, a disobedience, and something that is cutting off the ties of kinship. مَا لَمْ يَسْتَعْجِلْ, until he does not become impatient. مُسْتَعْجِلْ, إِسْتَعْجِلْ, meaning impatient. So one of the people sitting over there, one of the Sahaba said that, يَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ, O Prophet of Allah, مَا إِسْتَعْجِلْ, what is impatience? What is impatience in dua? In the category of dua, what is إِسْتَعْجِلْ? He said, يَقُولُ, meaning the person says, he or she says, قَدْ دَعَوْتُ قَدْ دَعَوْتُ, I call upon Allah, I call upon Allah. فَلَمْ أَرَى أَسْتَجِيبَ لِي, but I don't see that he has answered my call. فَيَسْتَحْسِرْ عَنْدَ ذَلِكَ, and then he becomes totally frustrated and pessimistic on that, and he gives up. Gives up making dua for that thing. That is what Rasulullah is saying. Don't do that. Rasulullah is saying in this hadith, don't give up asking for that thing. Keep on asking. Even if it's not good for you, Allah is not giving you, that's a sign for you, fine. But you make dua in the sense that it is khair for you, give it to me. So that dua, the thing is the miqdar of dua. If I make a small dua, then a small amount of evil is saved away from me. If I make a long, big dua, a big amount, a big chunk of thing is saved away from me. And now, very quickly to wrap it up for today, how should we be making dua? I know we covered some of the ingredients of dua before, but there are also very important three things that must be mentioned when we are making dua. And these three ingredients, when you're making dua, are important because that will not make us impatient or frustrated or pessimistic. These three things. Number one, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about in Surah Sajda, about a group of people who, when they make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, What are they saying? تتجافى جنوبهم عن المضاجع يدعون ربهم خوفا وطمعا. Allah SWT is saying that their body parts, تتجافى جنوبهم عن المضاجع, their body parts are restless on their sleeping beds. Why? Because they want to pray to Allah SWT. This is indicative of someone who loves praying tahajjud. Or let's put it this way, someone who is addicted to praying the tahajjud, Qiyamul Layl, they don't sleep easily and restfully on their beds. And that's the kind of significance Allah is giving. Allah is saying that look, there are some people of Allah, there are some slaves of Allah, men and women on this earth, who don't like to lie on the bed for a long night. Rather, their ruh, their spirit is restless, that 3 o'clock comes, 4 o'clock comes, and they just get up. تَتَجَافَ جُنُوبُمْ عَنِ الْمَضَاجِ. English is a very poor language, but in Urdu, aadmi karvat pe chalta hota na, neend nahi aayi, kabhi is karvat ke, to aadmi puchta hai, agra aadmi puchta, bhai kya masla hai, aap khali bistar pe chung 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 karvat pe ja rahe, neend nahi aayi. This is the kind of philosophy Allah SWT is saying. To us aadmi se aage puchta hai ki ha bhai ye pareshani lagi mujhe, main neend nahi aayi. Hey, pareshani koi nahi hai, yahan pe ek raghbat, ek justuju, ek khwahish, ek ravish antar, ek mohabbat apne khaliq ke saath. कि किसी तरह 2-3 बजे रात के 4 बजे मैं बस वजू करूं, उठूं और नमाज पढ़ना शुरू करूं. That is the kind of philosophy. What I mean to say here in what I said in Urdu is that a person is restless because they're not getting sleep. I mean, they are lying down and trying to sleep, but the sleep is not coming because there is something in their mind, in their subconscious, that is perturbing them and they want to get it. Like in this dunya, when people have tension and stress, they can't sleep. So they take Ambien or Lunesta or whatever drugs out there in the market to sleep because of some stress and tension. Here Allah is saying it's not because of stress or tension. It is because of love of the ruh. And it's a sign, it's a good sign, healthy sign that this ruh is addicted to the love of Allah. And what do we call this kind of ruh? Ruh or nafs al-mutma'inna in Surah Fajr. We read that many times. In Surah Fajr at the end, Allah SWT says, يَا أَيَّتُهَا النَّفْسُ الْمُطْمَئِنَّةِ ارْجِعِي إِلَى رَبِّكِ رَاضِيَةً مَرْضِيَةً فَادْخُلِي فِي عِبَادِي وَادْخُلِي جَنَّتِي. This ayah was regarding one sahabi, I forget exactly, I think maybe it was Abu Bakr, but I don't know if it was Abu Bakr or someone else, but this ayah was revealed about a sahabi who was restless, who just loved Allah from the bottom of the heart. So Allah is saying, come back, oh you peaceful soul, nafs al-mutma'inna, irji' ila rabbi. And remember, there are two times when the soul goes to Allah. One time, we all know, when somebody dies, that's it, their soul is gone. The other time is every night. Every night. That nafs al-mutma'inna, before they die completely from this dunya, every night they're dying. Every night that we go to sleep, we die. Whether you accept it or not, but it's what we call in Arabic in Sharia, mautu sughra. Allah says in Surah Zumar that Allah الذي يتوفى الأنفس في منامها. Allah is the one who gives death, يتوفى, who gives death to the nafs in their sleep. But this is death called small death, maut sughra. Maut kubra, big death, is when you are completely dead. Now the body doesn't move. The heart don't function, the liver don't function, nothing function. But when you sleep every night, Allah calls that also death, but a smaller death. Why? Because when you go to a person who's sleeping, you can hear them breathing. But if you talk to them, will they respond to you? In fact, when the next morning at breakfast, you tell them, you know, last night I came to your bedside and I was talking to you for half an hour. That person who's sleeping say, get out of here, are you crazy? I don't hear anything. I didn't listen to you. Yeah, because they were in the state of death. But this is a unique kind of death. Meaning, in other words, ever since we are born in this world, Allah prepares us from the day we are born for death. How? The newborn child. 23 hours. In fact, some nurses say 23.5 hours out of 24 hours sleeping. And if we go one step further, for 9 months they are sleeping. So Allah prepares us from death before even coming to this world. But once the child comes up, 23.5 hours the child is sleeping. As the child gets to grow bigger, The same child that is 1 day old or 1 hour old, by the time this child becomes 60 years old, now they have only 2 hours of sleep at night. You see the philosophy that Allah is training us with? Allah trains us for death right when we are young. Where basically if you look at a person, they're sleeping, a child sleeping 23 hours. 23 hours they are not awake, aware of what's going on in the world. They're being prepared for the eternal sleep. But now Allah's mouth gradually begins to reduce their sleep as they get older. So that's why we who are adults, we sleep less compared to a child. You'll see a child sleeping 8, 10 hours, you know, 5-year-old, 6-year-old. Us who are 20, 30, 40 years, we sleep less compared to them. And those who are above us, 70, 80, 90-year-old, they sleep much lesser than us who are 30, 40 years old. So as you get older, your sleep gets shrunk and shrunk and shrunk. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has programmed you enough that now He's giving you more time to do ibadah. Now, if you're only sleeping 3 hours a night, hey, I mean, that's what I tell to all my respected senior citizens in this world. If you are having less sleep at night and you are above 65, so this is golden opportunity, ample. Allah says, I love you. That's why I'm giving you less sleep, so that you make my ibadah. And if you can't get up and pray rak'ah, just get up, make wudu, read Quran. Or do tasbih, Allah, Allah, Allah. Because many times, I know many old people, they ask me, I don't understand, what's the Islamic philosophy behind sleep getting reduced when you get older? This is the best philosophy that Allah is teaching us. Because, jaise se duniya se nikalne ka time aa raha hai, Allah taala aur kam kar rahe hain neend taaki aap qareeb aaye. Agar usko itni neend aa jaye, to ibadat to kar nahi sake. Aur sabse mustahab aur mehboob ibadat, raat ki ibadat. To raat ki to neend khatam ho jaye. I remember, meri daddy, my grandmother, she used to always complain to me. I said, look, Allah loves you. He loves you more than me. Because I, even if I want to break my sleep, I'm so drowsy, so sleepy. You don't even want to do anything. You sleep 2 hours, aag khul gayi. Ab dhai baje se tehal rahi. So I said, Italian mein bhejo, aap baith ke wuzu kar le, Quran padh le, namaz padh le. You get something better out of it. Because that is what the philosophy is, that as you're getting older, Allah is saying your time is coming closer to meet to me, whether you accept it or not. I mean, of course, death is coming anytime. A person can die at even younger age. But Allah is training us that, look, you slept enough, you trained enough for death when you were young. Now that you're getting older, the sudden death is about to come any moment. Are you prepared for it? Are you making enough dua to me? And even if, like, sometimes old people say, oh, I can't get up and pray long rak'ah, tahajjud. Fine. Sit down and pray. Fine. If you can't sit down and pray, the best you can do, dua. We said that many times, that the dua in tahajjud is very mustahab. Imagine what will Allah give you if you just get up in the night for 2 hours, you're like this, making dua. Whatever language, even if it's Urdu, you can't make it in Arabic, Urdu. Urdu, English, French, German, whatever your language is. 2 hours of every night dua, wow. I just can't imagine how much blessing that's going to come back to in that aspect. And that's what Allah from other things. تَتَجَافَ جُنُوبُهُمْ عَنِ الْمَضَاجِعِ يَدْعُونَ رَبَّهُمْ خَوْفًا. These people who are always changing their size and postures on the bed, عَنِ الْمَضَاجِعِ and يَدْعُونَ رَبَّهُمْ, they are asking Allah, making dua. Meaning you don't even have to get up from the bed. On the bed, bistar pe lete hue neend nahi aayi, dua karna shuru. When you do dua while you're lying down, you see sleep will come to you. Why? Because now Shaitan doesn't want you to make dua. So he will infuse sleep into you. Salah wake up. Yaar, ye to dua karna shuru kar diya, isko to ye to mere mein. Shaitan is going to say, I'm going to be lost. Let me make him sleep. So you save your money. Don't buy Ambien. Don't buy Lunesta. Save those pharmaceutical companies some money for themselves. And Shaitan is going to give you free sleep. Free means. Why? Because Shaitan doesn't want us to do ibadat now. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us in this surah, Surah Sajda, verse 16, يَدْعُونَ رَبَّهُمْ خَوْفًا. They call upon their Lord with khawf, fear. Extreme fear of that kind. In another place Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّهُمْ كَانْ يُسَعْرُونَ فِي الْخَيْرَاتِ وَجْيَمُنَنَا رَغَبًا وَرَحَبًا. In Surah Anbiya, Surah 21, verse 90, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about Zakariya alayhi salam. Remember Zakariya alayhi salam, Allah gave him a child at a very old age. So Allah is talking about them. Innahum, they were, meaning Zakariya alayhi salam and his wife, both of them, were yusari'una fil khayrat. They used to race, compete in good deeds, in khayrat. Wayad Unana, after they do all the charity in the way of Allah, they would call upon Allah. Wayad Unana Raghaba wa Rahada. Rahab wal Raghab. Raghab meaning motivation. And a Rahab in the sense of aspiration. That not only are you motivated to make dua, in your dua you have a conviction, aspiration, desire. Yes, Allah is going to accept my dua. Because if you make dua, like a lot of times people make dua dejectingly, you know, half-heartedly. But they don't really believe in their dua. They say, let me make dua for the sake of it. For the sake of dua, let me make dua. But I don't really believe in the dua. Any Muslim who does not really believe in dua are undermining their iman, weakening their iman. Whereas here Allah is saying, you should have raghba, motivation, desire, aspiration. And you should have hope with Allah, rahaba. But of course, if you really, what the formula Allah is giving in this surah, Surah Anbiya, verse 90, that if you want your du'as to be accepted like a catalyst, you know, in chemistry we used to learn that there's a chemical reaction between two things. You put a catalyst, the reaction expedites. So if you want to expedite, not the reaction with Allah, but if you want to expedite the du'a with Allah, khairat, giving. The more you give, the more. And giving does not mean giving $100 all the time. Even a dollar. A dollar a day accepts all the dua in the way. So we have $7 a week. Can I imagine how much dua Allah is going to accept for that purpose? And that is why Allah also says in another surah, Surah Araf, verse 55, أَدُوا رَبَّكُمْ تَدَرُّعًا أَدْرَعًا وَخُفْيَةً إِنَّهُ لَا يُحِبُّ الْمُؤْتَدِينَ. Call upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with a sort of feeling of hope and raja, and not too vocal. Like some people begin to fight in their dua. They're like fighting with Allah while in dua. We've seen many times. And Allah doesn't like the people who are transgressor, mu'tadeen. Because we said this about it many times in this Thursday weekly thing, that on one side we are making dua, on the other side we are transgressing the boundaries of Allah. We are breaking Allah's rules right and left, and then on the other side we're making dua. How is Allah going to accept dua? For dua to be accepted, number one, we have to check our a'mal, our deeds. Our salah has to be on time. Our salah has to be complete. I can't be skipping salah, missing salah, and then expect Allah to accept my dua. My ibadah, my time should be valued. I can't be wasting time in ruthless and valueless and wasteful things. I should be using my time on a valuable basis. Tilawatul Quran, zikr, azkar, teaching kids, sitting down having halakha with kids, even reading a book. I mean, a book that they bring from the school, from elementary school. You know, in the early days, they have reading exercises. They bring book. Sitting down with your kids, reading a book to them, this is also valuable from Islam point of view, because you're doing tarbiyah of your child. Does not mean Allah doesn't just give reward for religious things. Allah gives reward for everything we do in this world, provided it has a good objective. Sitting down with your child and reading a book, it has a good objective. You are training your children. You're doing tarbiyah. So what if the book is about, say, Snow White or some angel or some other storybook? You are still engaging in an activity. There is something known as quality time and quantity time. I mean, which educationists and pediatricians talk about it all the time. Especially psychologists talk about it this in America a lot of time, that are you going to spend quality time with your kids or are you going to spend quantity time? Because quantity time may not have a good quality in it. And I could be going down to the beach for 5 hours with my kids. But what did I achieve with my kids? What did I achieve? Did I train them for anything? We just went there and wasted 5 hours. But those 5 hours, I could have been at home, play some game with them, put them on my back and become their horse or something, and then have a small halakha, and then we teach something, and then we have turns around, have them do some good deeds in front of us. That 5 hours that I spent at home is quality time. And that 5 hours that I spent out on the beach with the kids and family is quantity time. So you have to weigh and outweigh your pros and cons and compare, where are we heading to? Because a family is like a factory. That's what Allah is saying. So if the factory needs to be productive, what's the product of a factory? That is called a family. Children. Us, those who are parents, we're going to die very soon. Our parents did their job for us. When we were young, our parents did their job. Where are our parents? Some of them, Allah bless them with health, they are alive, we break dua for them. Some of our parents are gone. They did their job, they left. Now the only way we can help our parents, if they're gone from this dunya, dua. Every day. Don't miss, if you don't have a parent alive today on this earth, don't miss a single second, any day, for making dua for them. Because this is a hadith of Rasulullah. Every time when a son and daughter makes dua for their father and mother, Allah tells the angels of the Azab al-Qabr, hold off. So imagine if you were making dua five minutes at every hour on the hour. In the graveyard, the angel will be really working, sweating, because he will have to stop all activities on the grave because that son and daughter is making dua. And that's how our parents in the graves get to know us. Because the angel says, because the parents say, what happened? Why is there so much khamush? Why is there so much silence in my graveyard? In my grave. The angel informs, your son and daughter that you left behind is reading Quran right now. Your son and daughter you left behind has just given a sadaqah right now. Your son and daughter you left behind is praying right now. Your son and daughter that you left behind is doing zikr right now. So that's why parents in the grave get happy. MashaAllah! I mean, if we could hear our parents in the grave, we would be so delighted, exuberant, that dad, mom is calling out from grave. Thank you, son. Thank you, daughter. You're paying off my dues that I trained you with. And likewise, here's a son and daughter, doesn't pray, doesn't fast, doesn't give zakat, doesn't even do zikr, nothing. For that, the angel says, did you have any children? Yeah, I had 8 children. I left behind. I don't know. There's nothing going on in the grave. Well, did you train them good? I guess that was why it was a problem. Wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillah wal min wa salatu wassalamu alayhi wa sallam. Huh? Jazakumullah khairan. Wa iyyakum inshaAllah.